This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios. Speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? You better visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That is 208-467-7468.
It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Overheard at Yoga. I'm Christina, and I'm thrilled today because I have one of my favorite yogis here, Chris Durano. This guy is amazing. Every time he comes into the yoga studio, he's like, hey, I got a story for you. And every story is amazing. And he is also known as a master manifester. Chris, you're here. Yay. I'm so happy you're here.
Making me blush.
How are you?
Fantastic as most of the time.
So yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling this morning?
Feel great, yeah. Went out, had a little outdoor dinner with a couple friends, the traditional corned beef and cabbage, and mm-hmm. a little bonfire afterwards.
Nice.
And, moderate amount of alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about your yoga journey. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me when you started getting into yoga?
Yeah. So I started with you, Christina, my very first yoga class
ever. Oh my gosh.
5.5 years ago. And it was kind of a, changing, evolving point in my life where I used to drink a lot of alcohol,
okay,
and not be very present and not really have much direction in my life, and I've been to Burning Man a few times.
What's a few times?
Now it's 9. but that was a few years ago, and I came back from Burning Man this 1 year, and I didn't really decide to quit getting drunk, but it was just kind of something that happened, and it started this evolution of myself to who I am now, and part of that was going to yoga. One of my friends was like, you should go to yoga, you have all these things going on in your life, you should go to yoga. And I was like, I don't go to the gym, I don't work out. She's like, this is different, you need to go. So finally I said, okay, I'll go with you. And that was 5.5 years ago. And after the first class, I was like, wow, that was really, really hot.
Hot yoga. Yeah. Yes. So your friend recommended yoga because you had like a full plate and she just thought that it would help your head space or what?
Well, like I said, I didn't stop drinking, but I enjoyed drinking a beer. I enjoyed having a tequila. Mm-hmm. There was something about like that clink and looking someone in the eye, yeah, and shooting it down. However, I just didn't want to be in that place where I was really drunk. So I decided to go to 2 drinks in a day, if any.
Okay.
And I started eating clean and, just all this, meditation. And so yoga was an obvious next step for, my friend. She was like, you need to do this, you should do this. So I went with her and that's how it began.
So the catalyst for this, though, you said you came back from Burning Man and you're like, let's switch things up.
Yeah.
What, So what happened to catalyze that? I don't know if that was a word, but yeah, it is now.
I don't specifically know. And like I said, it didn't actually even feel like a decision to me. I came back from 8 days of you know, ridiculousness at Burning Man. And I pulled my travel trailer in with my two friends. I told them to get out and I would see them in a couple days and they could come and help me clean the trailer then. I went into the house, I took a shower, and I went right to the bar and started drinking. Everything. Whiskey, Cokes, beers, everything was just going down. And at midnight, there was just this kind of a weird thing where I looked up. I remember I saw it was midnight and I closed my tab, which was really weird because there was 2 more hours of drinking left.
Oh.
And I left and I went home. And the next morning, I just kind of felt weird and different, you know? I didn't know. It was kind of like, felt like I was crawling out of my skin a little bit. And then that evening, it was getting dark, and I was like, well, I should be going to the bar. And I was like, I don't feel like drinking, which was weird.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was like, well, you know, I think I'll stay home tonight. And I did. And you know, same thing next day. It was like, well, it's getting dark. I should be going to the bar. I was like, I guess I could force it. And I'm like, that just sounds silly. So I stayed home again. And, you know, there began this journey. I talked to this friend that I had met and spent time with at Burning Man. And there wasn't anything in particular that I could actually say, oh, this was it. Oh, this was it that kind of shifted things in my life.
I wonder if the stars just aligned and suddenly you had a shift that was very subatomic that you're feeling.
Yeah, there was, you know, it was Burning Man. There was a lot of things that happened. and so, yeah, anyways, so I, you know, talked to this friend that I've met at Burning Man and, you know, she was just kind of helping guide me through this thing that I was going through.
Brought you to hot yoga.
Brought me to hot yoga.
Start going to
the
hot
Hollywood
yoga.
Market.
Hollywood
yoga.
Crew. Yeah.
And, you know, it's become a massive part of my life and absolutely helped me become the person that I am now and brought me to the place that I am and in, you know, in my life mentally and physically.
What? So you did, didn't you do like a 30-day challenge when you first started?
Yeah, I started doing yoga and then we had the, you know, Hollywood does a 30-day challenge around the first of the year. And I'd already been doing it for a few months, but decided to sign up for that. And subsequently, I don't necessarily sign up for them because I really want to go to yoga every day anyways.
Yes.
And so I would usually make it, but it just kind of changed things a little bit. It's kind of like when you have a favorite sports team and you start betting on them. You know, like it changes it a little bit. And so I haven't really done the 30 days. Well, of course, the last year with
right.
the thing. So, but
the thing.
Not giving it any more
named.
Right, exactly. No more energy. But yeah, so the 30-day challenge, you know, really put me into it. And I really started to actually become more aware of how what I did on a daily basis affected me.
What do you mean? So you,
physically.
So like the, you would say that one of the biggest shifts was just becoming aware.
Mm-hmm. So, one day it was about 2 months into my yoga practice and I made it like a little past halfway through before I had to just lay there and just, it was everything I could do to just not leave the room. And afterwards I said to Megan, I said, why are you so angry today? And she said, what do you mean, Chris? I said, well, that, you know, that was not our regular class. Like you, there's something, you know? And she said, no, it's the same class, Chris. I was like, it was hotter. You made us stay in poses longer or something because I almost died, you know? And she said, well, Chris, your body's different every day. She said, did you go out and get drunk last night? And I said, I don't really drink anymore. She said, Did you sleep okay? I said, always sleep good. And she said, did you eat a bunch of crap? And I was like, yeah, well, my daughter, you know, got an A on this test, and I asked her what she wanted to do for to celebrate, and she said she wanted to go to the restaurant that had the chocolate fountain. And so I went from not eating any red meat and, you know, anything like that, being, you know, eating really clean, to having like 3 sirloin steaks.
Oh,
and
my,
I made like 4 trips to the chocolate fountain with Rice Krispie treats and
fudge
brownies.
I'm sorry, where
brownies.
Is this restaurant? I need to know.
We can talk about that later. And it's called the Golden Corral, I think. It's a horrible buffet place. Well, you know, but they have a chocolate fountain, and then there's fruit and, like I said, Rice Krispie treats and brownies and these long skewers, and skewer them and then just fill them with chocolate. So anyways, it was at that moment I was like, you're kidding me. I ate some, you know, chocolate fountain yesterday, and that affected me this much? And she just kind of looked at me, and I was like, wow. And so it was you know, yoga has really helped me to realize the things that how you think affects your life, how you eat affects your life. It's made me really aware of like the actual control that I have on my life and being happy and not letting stress take over your life.
But as long as I've known you, which I've known you when you started doing yoga,
yeah,
you've always been that guy, though, where you choose a positive attitude, at least from what I've seen.
And I feel like it's always been in me, and it's been there. However, being aware of how you think, and changes your attitude, your mood, so by going to yoga and having that realization of what you eat, what you do affects your body, then
that's so true. I think a lot of us live automatically and reactively, and we don't even realize that we're actually making choices. And even if you're already a positive, happy person, you don't realize that you're choosing to be that way until you have the sense of awareness. And so that sense of awareness is really interesting. So I'm choosing these automatic responses, whereas before I wasn't aware that it was a choice. It was just how I was being. Mm-hmm. So I like that sense.
Mm-hmm. When I started going to yoga, I also started listening to podcasts.
Heyo.
And there was a podcast, and like I said, this was about 5 years ago, and guy Joe Dispenza was talking.
Oh my gosh.
And he was talking about neuropathways and how, the way that you think or the way that you've thought is, these neuropathways, and how your life has, evolved is how these neuropathways are formed, and you can actually change these neuropathways by thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yoga, being aware, listening to what I'm saying, what I'm thinking, it's all been a big snowball effect that has propelled me to this awesome life that I have right now.
So would you say that he helped guide you into more meditation practices? Do you practice meditation?
I do practice meditation, every day after my yoga practice, and you're laying there on the mat. Mm-hmm. When I first started doing yoga and it was, finished and I'm laying there on the mat, I was so hot that all I could do was just, focus on the heat and trying to get rid of that heat out of my body. And then I would go to my breath, and then I would go to slowing my heart rate down.
Okay.
And eventually, after going to Yoga a bunch, it wasn't so unbearably hot, and my breath wasn't out of control, and my heart rate was, you know, regular-ish, you know, okay. not completely. And so then I was like, well, you know, what do I do now? And I, you know that yoga was, you know, created originally to help meditate. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, meditation, if they say a basic way to meditate is to count. So I thought to myself, okay, I'm just going to lay on the mat here and I'm going to count. So my breath, breathe in one, out one, in two, out two. And my goal was to get to five. And it took me about a year and a half to regularly get to five.
What do you mean?
I would.
You would get distracted?
Absolutely. I'd be like, one, one, two, two.
What am I going to do today?
And then, three. Right, gone.
Start over.
Gone, you know? And then I'm like, I don't, what number was I on even? So then I'd start again. One, one, two. And then I can't believe it. I can't even get the thought. Dang it, what number was I on again? So I'd have to start again. And so about a year and a half after that, I could regularly get to five. And then so I decided to go to 10. So my meditation practice is definitely alive and well, specifically right after yoga, laying there on the mat. I you know, have moments where I recognize like I could use a little breath work right here or just a little bit of time to reset. But I don't have a regular wake up and meditate or meditate before I go to bed or anything like that.
I want to talk about what was that magazine that basically said Chris Gerano has the happiest life or the best job in the universe? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Tell us about that.
Well, we live in Boise, Idaho, and it's a wonderful place.
Boise.
When I moved here, I pulled into town and the car, I was married at the time, and her car broke down in front of the apartment complex we were going to move into the next day. And so I was like, well, we got to push this thing into the parking lot. And it's full of hundreds of pounds of stuff. So, well, do you think you can get any, you know, you're going to do it? I said, well, we'll see what the people of this town are like really quickly. And I start pushing the car, and this gal with her $1,200 road bike with the clip-in shoes sees me pushing, pops out, throws the bike on the grass and starts pushing. A car drove by with an elderly lady and she kept going. And then the next car was a husband and wife and kids. The husband throws it in park in the middle of the road and starts pushing. And I'm like, I am home. This place is amazing. And it is. It's a really fantastic place. And a couple years ago, well, for the last 6 or 8 years, it makes all these lists. Best place to open a small business. Most, you know, the highest percentage of people riding their bike to work. Anyways, and so this one year, about 2 or 3 years ago, there was a website that came out with the top 100 places to live. And number one was Boise, Idaho. And it talks about best places to go to happy hour, you know, Bardonnay, that's its own distillery and this and that. And Boise State football, Fanatics, you know, yeah. And all this stuff. And then it said local dream job. It said fly fishing guide at the Idaho Angler. I was like, that's me. So I'm like, so what you're saying is I've got the best job in the world and the best place in the world to live.
Yes, you do.
So actually, I believe it was Sally that sent me.
Oh,
the,
really?
I believe, like, several people sent it to me knowing that
Chris was a fly
fishing guide at the Idaho Angler. So, I mean, I'm almost positive that Sally was one of those people.
Yes. Sally is the owner of Hollywood Market Yoga and Stash Sugar and Skin. Oh, great. Great business, amazing entrepreneur. I love her. She's my boss. I love you, Sally. That's so cool. She sent that to you. So I feel like you have a pretty cool life.
It's magnificent.
So are there any parallels between fly fishing and yoga that you see?
Well, As I was saying earlier, my mind is fairly busy. Okay, they talk about the monkey mind, mm-hmm. right? So I'm like, a monkey mind? Hell, I got an orangutan, a baboon, two chimpanzees, and a spider monkey. So it takes a lot to busy my mind to the point where it's actually calm.
Mm.
Like when I was in New York City, a year or so ago in Manhattan, and there's so much going on. There's so many people, so many lights. And I was like, my brain is happy. It's just so much to focus on. And so, you know, in yoga, hot yoga specifically, in a studio, you're listening to someone lead you through the practice. And there's a certain focus, you know, between the heat, between, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror, trying to, you know, make sure that the poses are correct so you don't hurt yourself, focusing on the breath. It's yoga is a place where I, you know, it quiets my mind, and I just have this one little thing that, and everything else kind of goes away. And in fly fishing, it's kind of the same thing. To become a great fly fisher person, you have to like become part of the environment, part of the ecology. So you notice a spider web with the insects that are hatching, and you know, to gain information about what flies to use.
Oh.
You look for fish feeding. You look for birds flying in the air that might be eating the insects, you know, to give you, fly fishing is all educated guesses. You gather as much information as you can, and then you make a guess. And, you know, it's that same thing, the casting, the rhythm, the timing, you know, it's like the breath, you know, the positions. So
what do you mean the breath?
Well, when in yoga, it's the breath. You want your breath to be steady. You want it not to be erratic. And when you're standing on the river and you have the fly rod in your hand and you go back with your hand and wait for the line to open up, and then you go forward with your hand and you wait for the line to open up, the casting is very rhythmic, just like the breath is. And so there's just this correlation for me on how fly fishing gives my brain a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and it gives my brain all these different little things to focus on so that I don't have to think about, you know, the default world, what's going on outside.
Yeah. So you guide fishing trips, fly mm-hmm. fishing trips. You teach people how to fly fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's what my card says. I'm a fly fishing guide, and I teach people to fish, to catch fish. But one of the things that I do is I get people to slow down. So a lot of the people that I take fishing have jobs. It's kind of expensive actually to hire me, so you know
it's worth it. Do it. I've done it. It's amazing.
And so, you know, I take people that have, you know, big jobs or stressful jobs, and they have little bits of time, and so when we go fishing, they're you know here, and then we get out of the car and they jump out of the car and they're getting their waders on. They want to run down to the river, and I, you know, have this ability to just slow everything down. Now hold on a second, you know, like, all right. And then we walk down to the river, but we walk slowly because we don't want to create vibrations on the ground that go out into the river and scare the fish. And then we stand, you know, 5 or 10 feet off the bank, and we put the rod together. And then we string the rod up with the fly line, and you know, and the whole time we're observing. So, I get people to slow down, and the other thing is I help them have fun. Yes. So it's something I'm good at, helping people have fun. So
you're great at. So people also call you the master manifester. Yeah. Why is that? because you live in the greatest place and you have the greatest job. So you're able to manifest that, of course.
Yeah. So, it was an observation, a friend of mine had, actually the woman that got me to go to my first yoga class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She said to me, she's like, you know, be careful and be specific because you're a master manifester. And if you aren't specific with what you ask for, the universe will play tricks on you.
Oh, the universe will play tricks on you.
Recently, this last 5 years, relationship has been, I've changed how I relate, relationship is in my life. And
dating wise.
And
here
I've,
we go.
And I've, so I, I've, been married and divorced. I've had several long-term relationships, and then I wasn't in any of them. And so I was like, I need to figure out what's going on and what's my part. Mm-hmm. Listening to a podcast, and they said, you can blame this person for this and this person for this, but what's your part? And so then when I really started looking at that, I was like, wow, I need to do some serious work on myself. And so for the last, 5 years, or at the time, like 4.5 years, I had really, not allowed myself to be in a serious monogamous relationship. And I got to this point where I was like, I feel like I'm ready to bring a woman, into my life, into my house. And, I put it out there. And I should have listened to my friend and been more specific because I got my mother. So my father had passed away. They both, and my mother and father had been together for 52 years. And she and he, lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, the town I grew up in. And, it just was not a situation where she was going to be able to stay there by herself. So she came to Boise and now and was living with me. And but then
you bought the house next door for her.
And then the house right next to me, being the master manifester, went up for sale. And I
did you think about that before it went for sale? You're like, it would be great if she just lived next door, and then suddenly the house came for sale. How did this work?
It was a situation where I had talked to my mother's cousin back in Erie, and my mom had gone back to Erie for a little bit, and when I talked to her afterwards, she said, I was looking at some apartments that were a mile or two away, and my mom's cousin was like, no, I think she needs to be a lot closer than that. So, I started looking into, well, what options do I have? And so I was looking into building a little apartment for myself over my garage, and I would live there and my mother would live in my house, because her living with me was less than ideal.
Was that affecting your dating life a little bit?
It was just affecting my life. One of my friends was like, oh, it's so wonderful that you have, this new, your mom as your roommate, and you get to, learn about her and live with her in this new and form these new relationships. And I was like, first of all, she's living with me. I'm not living with her. And second of all, you have a mom. How would it be living with her? And usually that's was followed by a
silence.
No, like a really funny gasp. Face and a gasp. And I said, yeah, That's it exactly. You know, that picture in your head that made you make that funny noise and make that funny face. That's how it is. And I love my mother, and I'm happy that she's here with me. And, you know, it's been a year and we each have our own houses now.
I'm sure your daughter loves it.
My daughter is, she has been a great buffer for my mom, my mother, and I. And my daughter turns 14 the end of the month here, and she's also been a good she's helped me realize, you know, hey Dad, you know, you might have been a little bit
what's your daughter's sign?
Well, her birthday's March 31st.
Oh, is she a Cancer?
Yes.
Chris, come on. I think that's a Cancer, and I don't know much about Cancers, but they are in touch with their emotions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she could probably read yours and hers.
Yeah. So my daughter's been a great sounding board for me with, you know, to help you know, my relationship with my mother. So yeah. So yeah, the house next door went up for sale, and I went to the owners and I said, I am buying this house. Give me the opportunity. Just give me the opportunity. And they did. And it was, and so yeah, we each have our own house now.
Amazing. Yeah. That's so fantastic.
There was a little gate between the two houses in the backyard already that was nailed shut. So I, you know, pulled the nails and the gates open, and so my mother and I can go back and forth, and my daughter.
Does your mom does she love it? Is she excited to have her own home and kitchen and come over whenever she wants and have you over whenever she wants and still have that little degree of separation?
Yeah, it's the degree of separation has been really great for both of us, and part of my mother's healing from my father's death, and you know, there's all these boxes that we've been checking. I mean, she moved out here, and then the thing, not to be mentioned, happened. And so she was kind of stuck, quote unquote, in Boise.
Yeah.
And so just recently, I went back to Erie, loaded a 20-foot U-Haul trailer, and brought all of her belongings, all the photo albums, all the artwork, you know, a lot of her clothes, her China hutch, all these things back. So she's now in the process of making the house that she's living in her home, and bringing all these things back.
These meaningful items that bring up memories for sure.
Yeah. And so that's been really great for her. I think has probably been most recently the biggest healing thing that she's been experiencing lately.
Great. Well, Chris, I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
So, one day I was in the locker room, and it was just after the yoga class, and somebody said to, it was two guys, and they were talking about yoga. The one guy was his first or second class. The other guy was seasoned, and the new guy just said, well, you know, is it better to like kind of do one pose so that you can, you know, do the next pose? And he said, why would you kind of do anything? it just kind of struck me, because, you know, the crossovers from yoga into life. And, you know, I actually use that in yoga, because I found myself doing that, like kind of pacing myself.
Uh-huh.
But after that, you know, each pose that happened, I gave it everything I had. And if I wasn't able to do the next one, then I wasn't able to do the next one. And then, which is also a practice of controlling your ego.
Oh, I love that you shared that, because I definitely catch myself pacing myself or not wanting to breathe when the teacher tells me to breathe and just huffing and puffing my way through it. And I know better, but why would you kind of do anything?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's you know, one of those crossover yoga lessons in life.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on with me. I think you're one of the most amazing, wonderful people. Always so positive, beautiful smile, voice of butter. I want to bring you back on and do like a meditation episode, bonus episode with you. I think that would be really fun.
I can't wait. And mom, I love you. If you're listening, I am so happy that you're here and looking forward to all the years ahead that we get to share next door to each other.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Christina. It was a pleasure being in the studio here with you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your Overheard at Yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste!